I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, and welcome back to the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. This week, I'm joined by Prisca Moyesa. That's right, she is back, and I'm so excited. Today, we are discussing how to get the skills that you need, and you guys voted for this, so I hope you are looking forward to it. In today's episode, we cover education versus experience. Which one do you need more? If there is a specific characteristic or trait that makes you better able to acquire skills, and what tools or resources are out there and how you can make sure that those online courses that you're looking at are worth it. Hi, Prisca.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm great, actually. I woke up this morning and I felt extremely blessed. For no reason. Nothing happened. I was just like, thank you. Thank you, life. Thank you, mum, for having me. Then honestly, I was extremely grateful. You know, it's very cold outside. And when it's cold, you tend to feel more grateful because you get inside and you realize, wow, like I have warmth. And I'm very, very grateful for having warmth.
This might be an entry for my gratitude journal, because sometimes I really struggle to find out what I'm grateful for. But yeah. Warmth is...
Little things like that. And I was hungry like yesterday. And I was like, wait, I can just go downstairs and make food. Like that's I'm grateful.
You came with a word today, huh?
I'm just grateful for the fact that I can just go downstairs and make as much food as I want.
Oh, anyways. So this week, the topic is getting the skills that you need. I feel like this one won the vote because we talked about skill last one, which made this one exceptionally challenging. And I actually had a different answer that I wanted to win personally, but here we are. So
damn.
Getting the skills you need, Prisca.
Ooh.
It's a tough one. So let's start with education versus experience when it comes to acquiring skill.
Okay.
Does one trump the other? I don't know.
Right. It really depends on what type of sector you're trying to go into.
Absolutely.
I think an education comes in many forms, right? So... It really does depend. And because education comes in many forms, you can have education you can get from YouTube. And that could be valuable depending on what sector you're trying to go into. However, you have to figure out what it is you want specifically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to education, like institutional education.
Yeah, institutional and traditional academia. Versus going out. So I imagine that there are quite a few 17/18-year-old listeners. There's a surprising amount, actually. I don't know why they're listening to my grown ass, but here we are. So yay. But they're toying with the uni, go to uni or go out and get a job debate. And you know, tuition fees rose here by a few years ago and it's obscene. So, you know, there's a real debate as to whether going to uni to get a degree is actually one worth it. Are you going to acquire the skills you need? And then employers are saying people are graduating without any like experience or skills that are required to do the jobs now. So it's kind of tying into the wider society and what's kind of lacking or needed. So I don't know. It's a tough one because I think you're right. It does depend. Like you cannot become a doctor without going to school and, yeah. And doing medicine.
You can't. And I mean, the thing about university or institutional education is that it tends to have quite a lot of theory into it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are courses which depend heavily on being practical. And those courses are really valuable. You know, I mean, you think about college, for example, where you probably have much smaller classes than you would have in uni, because uni have big lecture halls most of the time. You know, in college, that's education, and that's very, 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 that can be very valuable because they depend heavily on being practical, unless it's something like sociology or
The kind of like,
or psychology and stuff like that. Yeah. So you have to think about it in that sense. So if you want to become an entrepreneur, for example, then let's be honest, you probably don't even need institutional education. You probably don't even need experience. Because wanting to be an entrepreneur in itself is going to be an experience, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, you're going to go through certain challenges within your industry that will teach you how to be. So for example, let's say you want to be a baker, you want to bake cakes. You don't have to have worked in like a kitchen, in like somebody's kitchen, in order to kind of have a bakery. All you need to do is really, not all you need to do, but you need to spend a lot of time into, for example, watching YouTube videos on how to bake cakes, and then be practical. You being practical when making your own mistakes will help you learn how to kind of master your craft.
Yeah.
So it's situations like that where you have to figure out what it is you want to do. You have to be very specific about where you want to be in life. Yeah. And for example, if you want to be if you want to hire accountants, going to study accounting. Oh my God, I said accountancy. You guys, I have a degree, by the way, guys.
I'm finished.
Accounting. I don't know if you need to. Do you know what I mean? You might have to learn the principles of accounting, but do you specifically need to go to university and study accounting?
I know loads of accountants that didn't do that. They went through work and they had a placement, and then they qualified through the job, and they were also learning on the job, which I guess leads to higher success rates.
If we look at the timeline of job descriptions over the last 5 years, I've seen less and less requirements for a degree.
That's good.
Like I've actually witnessed it myself, because I always look at job descriptions. Like even just in terms of having your own business, you always want to see what the industry kind of requires. And there's less of a requirement for a degree now.
Good.
You
know,
however, university can teach you a lot about life
and
dealing with people.
I agree with that.
If we're talking about that now, if we're going away a little bit from, you know, business and having a career, it teaches you so much about life. And it's an expensive lesson.
It's a very, very, even when I was even paying the 9K, and that it was so expensive.
Yeah, was you paying 3K?
I was paying the 3K.
Same,
mm-hmm.
same. So I guess for us, it was okay for us to make mistakes, to learn, pay for that expensive lesson, but now...
I mean, I've always said, and this is not to sway anybody one way or the other, especially if you're listening, but I don't think it was necessarily worth it financially. If I went back and did everything again, I probably would have opted not to go. Having said that, the specific choice I made offered me a lot of, there's a lot of privilege in the university I went to.
Okay.
It has a certain demographic. It gives you certain access to people, and the name
itself. What university?
It was Durham. So okay. It carries a lot of weight in certain circles. People hear the name, they make assumptions about you, just like you would make assumptions about someone who went to Oxford or Cambridge. Like there, it opens doors that you wouldn't know. I guess for people that have, let's say, language, because I did ask a few people on Twitter, you know, what kind of skills would they be willing to get. So someone mentioned that they wanted to go into sound design, someone said they wanted to work in do youth work, and they said they needed a qualification for that. Someone else mentioned that they wanted to learn a language.
Okay.
Actually, a couple of people mentioned language, which I thought was quite an interesting one.
Okay.
And I think that kinds of things are really nice, because actually you don't necessarily need a formal education to do some of those things. Like sound design elements can be learned on YouTube, and then it's trial and error. Language is also the same thing. Go to that country.
And On like university websites, for example, they do highlight what the modules entail. And sometimes they have PDFs breaking down those modules and they have the books that you're going to need for that. You could just buy those books on Amazon or on other platforms like Abe Books, and then look at how they kind of they teach the module and kind of apply that to yourself. So I did French in university, even though I speak French, but I was like, because I can speak French, I know it's an easy grade. So yeah, that's why I did it, guys. So it is what it is. But when I think about it, what it was really was just a lot of tests that were in the book. And presentation skills that of course were practical, but you can get a friend to listen to you or find somebody that does speak French. There's a lot of events where you can meet French speaking people or Spanish speaking people or use the internet and say, hey, yeah. Can you help me with this? You know, you do have to put in a little bit more work if you're not going to go into education, but there's a way around still teaching yourself the formulas.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
Yes, I want to touch on the pull from the teaching yourself, because I think it's actually really hard to self-motivate. And I wanted to maybe talk to you about if there are key characteristics or traits in people that actually go out and pursue these things. Is there a mindset shift that you have to have in order to pursue the kind of goals and the skills that you want in life, especially if you're not willing or unable to pay formally for the education? Is there a trait?
I don't know if there's a trait per se, but there's a state of mind, and you have to care tremendously about your goal. And you have to really realize that only you are in control of your success. Like, it's all down to you. Like, I'm not even joking. When whoever's listening to this, listen to this very clearly. I have experienced it myself, and I have realized, and I've tested myself to see if this works. And the fact of the matter is, you are in control of how successful you are.
That is true.
It's that simple. So if you want to achieve something, the only way you're going to achieve that is if you force yourself to do it.
Yep.
Now, I do believe there's some practical aspects, instead of setting yourself reminders, writing things down on like a big whiteboard in your room or something that you can buy from like your local store, and then like forcing yourself to read it and answering those questions or whatever. But I just think you just have to care.
Yeah.
But sometimes people go through life experiences where they're not taught to care about certain things.
Knowing what's worked for you in the past and what's not working for you is really key, because if you know that you're doing something on, like, I don't know, you're watching a YouTube series or a teachable course, which you didn't pay, like, either you paid a very small amount for or it was free, how motivated are you going to do that? Because intrinsically you've placed value on it, whether you want to or not. And I think even with free courses, they like, they call them MOOCs, but I can't remember the massive online something. I can't remember what they stand for, but basically MOOCs are like what online courses are. And they have a very low dropout rate, because a very high dropout rate, simply because people don't see the same amount of value in them when they do things for free. So yeah. I think understanding how much value you place on this, if someone is offering you their time to tutor you in Spanish, then you've got someone that you're accountable to. Do you need a person? Do you need a physical presence in your life that kind of helps motivate you? So
do you know what? I definitely agree with the motivations thing, because if you don't have that, you're just going to find yourself doing things and then not applying what you've learned, and then it will go to waste.
Basically.
So you have to have that. You have to be specific. You have to figure out what your motivation is, and you have to know what this is for. And you need to be in a position where whatever you've learned, you've given yourself about a week or two to apply it. Because if you don't, I've done courses in the past where I just did it because it said marketing on it.
Yeah.
And I didn't apply it, and it did nothing for me. Like, and I probably spent a good maybe 3 months doing this, where I was, I spent 3 months just learning so much, because there's an abundance of information now that we just feel like we're supposed to learn it all. But not knowing that what my speciality was going to be is social media, community management, high quality production, and really creative ideas, I didn't spend.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Any time in those 3 months on those things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I guess it's great because you figure out what you want to focus on after that. But I would have figured it out without having to waste those 3 months. Do you know what I mean? So you have to have that motivation.
I agree. Motivation is probably, if there's going to be a characteristic, the motivation has to be strong enough and it has to sustain. My MBA is 9 to 10 months, I think. That's a long time to maintain a lot of self-motivation, which requires my active participation in this. So I think also being aware of, like, if you know that you're likely to wane, maybe you want to start with a course that's a day.
It'll start
with like a small series that you can watch in an hour and then build up on those skills.
100%.
And like Priska said,
perfect.
If you don't apply it, you're wasting your time. Like, you actually are wasting time. There's no point in doing it. When I did my copywriting course, I did that just in December. As soon as she said something, the first thing I went to do was like, I tried out the formula on Twitter or I tried it on the blog. I immediately put it to work to see what the reaction, whether it works or not. Is it converting? Am I not converting? What didn't work here? Can I shift this? And so you have to be, if you care about this enough, you will start finding ways that you can apply it in your life. If it's something really technical, I guess that's slightly more difficult. But even with programming as a language, you can still fire up some software and just play around.
Again, like, find the time. Like, if you're going to do a work, if you're going to do an online course, then know, okay, if I do this in 2 weeks, then I'm able to apply this straight afterwards. Don't rush into something if you know you won't have the time to apply it. Then you'll just waste your time more. Because again, when you keep doing something over and over again, that habit helps with honing in on the skill.
Yeah.
So you need to time out when you're going to do these online courses and stuff like that.
Yes. Finally, because we already touched on whether you should do online courses, and I think you should.
Yeah, they're very good. Just be specific.
Be very specific. So what tools or resources are out there that I guess we've either personally tried ourselves or we would recommend or strongly recommend?
YouTube.
Using? I knew you were going to say that.
YouTube, like, you'd be so surprised at how much information is on YouTube. Google as well. Like, and I'm not talking, don't be lazy and just go to page 3. Go to page 4 and 5, because sometimes the gems are in there. Not everybody is search engine optimized, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. But keep looking through Google, YouTube. Pinterest is okay. There's a lot of information on there, but if you type in like how to start a blog, you will find a lot of like images of like infographics and stuff like that. And then you can just click them, maybe click about 10 and then go through them. So Pinterest is actually a really good one as well. General Assembly have a few.
I was going to say General Assembly as
well. Yeah, General Assembly.
I've never
good.
Tried one of their courses, but they do a lot of events.
They do events. And their courses
workshops
as well.
They do have, their workshop, their courses are usually paid for.
They are.
But they're actually very reasonably priced considering how good they are.
They are.
General Assembly is very good. But if you go to, if you want to just get a feel for the atmosphere and the vibe, go to their events.
Go to their events.
And they typically are free or very, very affordable.
100%.
I would say look for workshops or masterclasses. When when you do a search for your specific industry or the skill that you want, so language, like Spanish masterclass, or what was the other word I just used? I forgot. But
I think you said masterclass.
I said masterclass. Oh, and workshop. what's going on? But yeah, look for workshop or masterclass specifically, because then that actually involves like a practical element where you might be required to apply what you've learned as opposed to sitting and passively listening.
Yeah.
I think those kind of, like learning the theory or hearing from people that have been doing it is very useful. It's very nice. It's very motivating and inspirational. But yeah. I feel like a lot of times you end up kind of like, all right, I feel motivated. And then where do you go from there?
Exactly.
So yeah, look for the workshops and the masterclasses, because that will actually get you down and doing the work that you need to do. I also really, there's a few language platforms that I like, but the, in terms of like physical ones that you can have on your phone, for example, I really like Anki as a language learning tool. Okay. It's actually a flashcard system more so than anything. So they just have words, different vocab on a card, and they'll just flash it in front of you, and you kind of really it's almost quite passive, but you're actually very engaged because you have to remember what it means and you're doing mental translations in your head, so it's kind of getting you used to the idea of translating back and forth.
And just touching on languages in GCSE French, and I'm saying GCSE French for a reason, so obviously I did GCSE French because I can speak it, it was easy. But in GCSE French, they teach you words a lot of the time, and one thing I learned when I was in university is that they test you on sentencing and how to speak, like how to have consistent conversations in French. So a good resource is Word Reference. Ooh. They actually, so if you type in a word, so if type in the word, I mean, you can have flower, so that's fleur in French. It will actually give you sentences where people use the word fleur in it. Ooh. So you, if you learn those sentences, and obviously there's a translation of it in English, then you're more bound to understand how to use the words, and it will stick more, because then you can just apply it. Like, j'ai besoin d'une fleur. That's, I'm in need of a flower.
Say? Oh, okay.
So that's, so it will have something like that. Which no one says I'm in need of a flower. So I don't know.
That was such a like.
That was like, what? Well, that was a really bad example, but yeah, like.
But your French was beautiful.
Thank you. But so that's a good way to learn languages, and then you can practice it with people. So a good resource to learn languages is when you figured out a word in Spanish or French, type it in on Twitter, right? And you will see people having conversations just as they would in English. Yeah, you see people just talking around this word. And then, so like, for example, I did it the other day. So I typed in the word fier, which is proud. And because I wasn't sure on the tense, because you know French, you have tenses.
Yeah, so that's loads why I failed.
Yeah, it's very hard. So on Twitter, I typed in fier, and then you have different people saying it in different tenses, and then I kind of figured out what I said, if what I said was right or wrong. And then you can also click see translation, I think, on Twitter as So then you can learn that way.
Yeah.
And then feel free to engage with random French people, random Spanish people as well. And I'm sure they will I feel they will respond. And that's how you learn a language, and that's how to be really practical, you know?
Yeah, look for language exchanges where languages, I did that. I had like a Skype buddy in Peru, and I had another person in Colombia who helped me learn some. I mean, I don't speak Spanish anymore, but.
Oh my God, I have a little bit of Spanish. Cabeza is head.
Head, yes.
Hermana, hermano. Bibo en Dagenham. That's like where I live in Dagenham. Tengo 20.
You have 20.
Cinco años.
You have 25 I'm 20. Years.
Is that what I said? Well, yeah, I mean, but that's how you say I'm 25.
Yeah, that's focusing on language. But to move, kind of switch gears from languages, but not really switch gears because it's in the same vein. Immersion in that space. A lot of what you're talking about is immersion. So when I was learning Spanish, for example, I listened to Spanish radio. It was actually Dominican radio, which was infinitely way more entertaining.
It's
Spanish
so
radio.
Entertaining. It's I did a little so bit of Dominican fun. Radio as well. So they are hilarious.
I don't even know what they were talking about half the time, but I caught some gist and I was like, what? TV really shows.
Yeah.
And I would say that you can apply that to pretty much anything. So if you want to get into engineering, how many engineering podcasts exist? I mean, they're not the most popular ones, but there are enough that you can get into the mindset of an engineer. You can get behind their lingo, their jokes. Once you start to immerse yourself in the world, you feel more a part of that world and you will feel more comfortable using the terminology. So when you're learning, it kind of keeps you in there, because then I've listened to things from my MBA. I've done my MBA and I've listened to certain business shows and I'm like, I actually know what that means.
Yeah.
And I've listened to people talk about economics. I'm like, I know what that means. And when you're connecting those things, it's a very nice feeling. It's
immerse yourself in it. Let it become your life.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Let it become your lifestyle. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with like being obsessed with something, right? Obviously obsession is never a good thing, but get to the point where you're so obsessed and then you can like tone it down a little bit. But I definitely agree in terms of immersing yourself. I think that's like how when we do strategies and stuff like that for businesses, we think you need to be in the business. You need to immerse yourself in, let's say it's makeup, into the business of makeup, the lifestyle of makeup, the people that live their lives for makeup. What does that stand for? So I definitely agree with the immersion thing.
Yes. Go immerse yourself. So what's the action that the listeners can take to get the skills that they need? Skills.
Type in words on YouTube and Google. And let's say it's photography. Let's say, so type in how to shoot B-roll. Type that in YouTube and then get a camera, go outside and shoot B-roll. And then upload it and then edit it. And if you don't know how to edit, type that in on Google, on YouTube.
That's your next step.
Yes.
You've created a course already.
Pay me, B. Pay me.
I've got this wonderful B-roll. How do I edit it? That is literally where all good things start, with a good Google or a YouTube search. Yeah. I didn't know how to use Photoshop. I wanted to make a picture look nice. It was doing too much. I mean, I gave up eventually.
But YouTube taught me about Photoshop. I learned a little bit on YouTube.
I really had to stop. I was like, I'm just going to use Instagram.
It gives you a headache. It gives you a headache. Yeah. And you're going to take a nap. You might have to be like, do you know, I'm going to take a nap now. But when you wake up, you're going to be like, I'm going to do this again. Like, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
It's so, true. There we go. That is true. Remember that at least 99% of people are not doing what you're doing right now, at least in your specific niche industry or vertical. So you're already in the minority when you're trying to upskill. And when you're trying to upskill, you pursuing it at least more than one day longer than anyone else, you're already doing the most. Like, you're going to get there. It just takes a lot of time, a lot of dedication, and a lot of motivation. And I say start with the free stuff.
Yes.
Like Prisca said, type it into YouTube, type it into Google, watch it, do it, and then level up from there. And 100%. Let that be when you start immersing yourself more and more into it, because that's all you can do, really. Skills take time.
If it's social media or marketing, give me a shout. Drop me an email, PRISCA@MOYESA.co. Or tweet me, PRISCAMOYESA. And I'm happy to like help in terms of social media. If you want to kind of meet up and stuff like that, I'm down.
Look at that. Prisca just gave out her whole email address.
Yeah, I don't mind.
All of you people. So I suggest you bombard our email.
I'm going to forward it over to you.
Please don't.
Watch. CC you in on every reply.
Just email Prisca your questions and sensible needs for advice where it comes to social media and marketing only. Everything else that you have questions on, you can also email the podcast and we will answer them on the podcast.
Or tweet us.
Yeah, or tweet us. So thank you so much, Prisca. It's been so fun.
See you next month.
See you next month. So that was brand and marketing expert Prisca Moyesa. If you'd like to find out more about Prisca, you can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at PRISCAMOYESA. That's at Prisca Moyesa. You can also visit her company, Moyesa & Co. at moyesa.co. On Wednesday, Prisca and I answer the questions you have sent in about your careers, brands, and businesses. Some of the questions include, how can I use social media to promote my podcast?
How do I get big brands to sponsor me? What do I do if the job I want doesn't advertise the salary? And how do I stand out on Instagram? All of that is going to be just, we've answered all of them and they're amazing. So to submit your questions for next month, you can tweet them to @wannabepodcast or visit wannabepodcast.com and select the Ask a Question tab. And we are here to offer you the advice that you need. So please be very specific, even name your brand. It's a shameless plug. Why not? So get those in ASAP. This podcast is created by the Shoutout Network. To find out more about membership, visit shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. If this podcast has made you download an app, visit a website or take notes, you should let me know about it by leaving a review on iTunes via your Mac computer or the iTunes podcast app on your phone. Also, please do follow us and interact and engage with us by following Wannabe at Wannabe Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. I love getting feedback and interacting and asking questions. And you guys just make it so much more fun to be involved with this podcast. So make sure you do follow us. To get extended show notes listing the tools and resources mentioned on this episode, visit wannabepodcast.com. Thank you to everyone involved in making this happen, from the producer to my assistant Wadaily. You guys are amazing. Thank you and see you guys on Wednesday. Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.